Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. We begin on the front page above the fold from the Paxton City Council in large print. 8 sounds great. That's how many license plate readers Paxton would have if plans proceed. Paxton. Aldermen learned of plans last week to add automated license plate reading cameras to 4 more entrances into Paxton, plus a new camera system equipped with a live feed at one of the city's most popular parks. Police Chief Coy Cornett told the City Council on Tuesday, March 11th, that the equipment would be installed under new contracts with Flock Safety, an Atlanta-based company whose technology has been in use in the Ford County seat since 2023, when 4 plate reading cameras were installed along main roads on the edges of town. Over that 2-year period, the roadside cameras' benefits to the community's 8-officer police force and the community at large have far outweighed their annual $2,500 per camera fee, Cornett said. They have led to a lot of arrests, and good arrests, Cornett said in mentioning their value to his agency's recent investigation into an armed robbery and aggravated battery, for example. I mean, I don't know if you can actually put a true price on some of these things. Under a new contract that would come with a slightly higher annual fee of $3,000 each, Cornett proposed the installation of 4 more Flock Safety plate reading cameras on South Stockholm Road, North American Street, South Vermilion Street, and the southbound Interstate 57 off-ramp to supplement the ones already installed at the northbound I-57 off-ramp, US 45 just north of the police department, Illinois 9 just east of Stockholm Road, and US 45 just south of Green Street. The council made plans to vote on approval of the new contract during its next meeting, the last of the expiring fiscal year, at 6 p.m. Tuesday, April 15th at City Hall. At the same time, the council will consider approval of a proposed new camera system for Pell's Park via a separate Flock Safety camera. The possibility of adding more license plate reading cameras has long been expected. In October 2023, when the council approved the replacement of the police department's original 2-year contract with Flock Safety with a 5-year contract running through 2028 for its first 4 license plate reading cameras, Cordett said there were no immediate plans to acquire more cameras, but acknowledged the possibility definitely could be considered at some point. We're trialing the 4 that we have, Alderman Rob Pacey noted last week, with the understanding that we could potentially be adding more in the future. When Cornett asked for the alderman's opinions on his proposal last week, first to speak was Alderman Justin Withers, who was fully supportive. "I'd be 100% for it," Withers said. "I don't know who would have the argument that says they're bad for the police department." Pacey said the plan would be to have the same expiration dates for both the new and existing contracts. "Our intent would be to do it in a way that the subscriptions would match up together," Pacey said, "so that there's no overlap with 4 cameras on one subscription and 4 on another." If the plan moves forward, all but 2 entrances into the city, North Market Street and the rarely used North Union Street, would be equipped with a camera. With the cameras capturing images of inbound traffic only, not outbound traffic, Alderman Joe Reinhart asked Cornett if he could see the need to eventually get even more. "I don't know," Cornett replied. "I don't know." Meanwhile, Cornett said, there is definitely value in having the solar-powered motion-activated cameras, which take photos of the rear of each passing vehicle, including every rear license plate, and alert on-duty police within seconds whenever one appears in criminal databases as being associated with a crime, for example, or a missing or wanted person. The cameras also tag unique features of the vehicle, such as a bumper sticker or a ladder rack, along with its make and model in a searchable database, which can be valuable in follow-up investigations, such as when trying to identify a vehicle involved in a crime. That was exactly how they were used by police following December's armed robbery of a Paxton Variety Liquors, ultimately helping authorities identify and arrest two suspects. At the same time, that incident demonstrated the need for more license plate reading cameras. The addition of one at the southbound I-57 off-ramp in particular, as the suspects first appeared to be scoping out the gas station on West Ottawa Road after exiting southbound I-57. If they had proceeded with that plan and returned to the interstate rather than heading east and robbing the liquor store, their vehicle could have avoided the city's cameras entirely. If they would have hit the gas station instead and then gone back to the interstate, we wouldn't have had any flock hits, Cornett said. So I think it's important that we cover the whole interstate exits that way. Likewise, a separate recent incident, an aggravated battery involving a suspect who fled, demonstrated the potential benefit of adding a camera on South Vermilion Street on the edge of town. If a camera were there, it would have captured images of the suspect's vehicle, helping police identify and apprehend them faster. We knew it went down Vermilion Street, but we actually couldn't make out what kind of vehicle it was, and we definitely couldn't make out the plate, Cornett noted. Mayor Bill Ingold said the proposed new camera system at Pell's Park would be used to deter damage to its playgrounds, restroom facilities, and pavilion, and to investigate any such incidents that continue to happen. Ingold said he planned to meet remotely later in the week with a flock safety representative to discuss the proposal. On Monday, Ingold said the meeting the previous Thursday lasted about an hour. Ingold said the solar power camera system would not be a license plate reading device. It would, however, give the city a set of eyes on city property at all times, with footage available in both real-time and for follow-up review. The camera would be able to swivel 360 degrees, allowing city officials to view areas around multiple park facilities at any time. This is a camera that would not need Wi-Fi, and it would not need electricity, Ingold told Alderman last week. This would be a camera that would be similar to the ones we already have. I'll know a little bit more next month. Cornett said the camera system considered for the park is known as the Condor Live and Recorded Video System. It's a new system, actually, Cornett said. It's actually like a running feed, so you can always pop back into it to see if anyone's damaging the property out there or any kind of issues. You can go back and actually watch it and see what happened. It sounds like a cool system. In addition to Pacey, Reinhardt, and Withers, present for last week's council meeting were Alderman Eric Evans, Dean Dykin, Matt Greenberg, and Kristen Larson, with Alderman Mike Wilson absent. Now another story from the Paxton City Council. City donates to Tunnels to Towers Foundation. A $250 donation approved ahead of charity concert last week at the Cadillac. Paxton. After a lengthy discussion, the Paxton City Council on Tuesday, March 11th, voted unanimously to donate $250 to the Tunnels to Towers Foundation, the nonprofit organization for which funds were raised during last weekend's First Responders Night, a concert at the Cadillac downtown. Representatives of the local music venue attended last month's council meeting and last week's as well to request a donation from the city. In return for a donation of $500 or more, the venue offered to recognize the city as an event sponsor and provide a reserved table at the concert along with a limited number of drink tickets and appetizers. A smaller donation could be made as well, the representative said. Alderman discussed matters at length before agreeing to make a donation of $250, stressing that the city would decline any offered perks. My question to the members of this council would be, Which of you would be willing to sit at that table and eat and drink on the taxpayer's dime? Alderman Pacey, Rod Pacey, asked his colleagues prior to the 7-0 vote. I don't think we need to take advantage of that, clarified Alderman Dean Gyken in response. It should just be a straight-up donation. Yes, agreed Alderman Matt Greenberg. We just wouldn't accept that portion of it. But I see your point, Rob, on that. Alderman also clarified that the donation would be made directly to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which has been providing mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responders' families since 9/11. The majority of the proceeds from the March 15th concert, headlined by U.S. Army veteran and country music artist Scotty Hastings, were to go to the nonprofit foundation. In February, the council tabled approval of a requested donation of up to $2,000 towards the council, opting to return to the topic in March. Before making the motion to postpone a decision, Pacey had noted that while the concert's cause is worthwhile, and he personally plans to attend the event, he questioned whether the city should be in the business of sponsoring events. The only other event the city regularly supports is the annual Paxton Swine and Dine Barbecue Contest and Festival, which receives an annual donation of hotel-motel tax dollars earmarked exclusively for economic development or tourism. Pacey also noted that the sponsorship costs for the March 15 concert were not currently budgeted. Pacey began the renewed discussion last week by pointing out that the council first would need to decide whether to use hotel-motel tax revenue or instead general fund revenue to make such a donation. Later, Alderman Eric Evans asked if there would be an issue with using hotel-motel taxes to donate to a national organization like Tunnel for Towers when the funds are supposed to be used only to promote local tourism. Pacey then asked if City Attorney Tony Shearing had an opinion on that very issue. I think that if it's a contribution that you want to make, I think it would make a better would be a better idea to maybe make it out of the general fund or something with lower restrictions on it than the hotel motel tax fund, with the understanding that in the event we need to shuffle things around in the budget, we can still do that, Shearing said while attending the meeting remotely. County ultimately agreed to make the $250 donation from the general fund. At the start of the discussion, Gyken had suggested making a donation of a similar amount to the $250 that the council had voted just minutes earlier to give to the Ford County chapter of Pheasants Forever. Alderman Kristen Larson said she believes the charity concert, with the goal of honoring and giving back to the area's first responders, should have our support as a city. I want to express our appreciation for the first responders, Larson said, and I think this would be a great opportunity. Besides Evans, Gyken, Greenberg, Larson, and Pacing, present were Alderman Joe Reinhardt and Justin Withers, with Alderman Mike Wilson absent. Also at the March 11th meeting, the council unanimously approved the city's annual $250 donation to the Ford County chapter of Pheasants Forever. Present to request the donation on behalf of the local chapter was its president, Kendall Diesberg, who explained that the donation would go towards sponsorship of the chapter's 40th annual banquet on Saturday, March 15th. Diesberg said three levels of sponsorship were available: $250, $500, and $1,000. It's something we've been doing for quite a few years, Mayor Bill Ingold said. Ingold noted that the nonprofit conservation group volunteers to maintain cover crops at the city-owned former landfill property adjacent to this former city-owned airport, so we don't have to do anything with it. Also, Pacey said the city's has reached out to the chapter's Dallas Glasic about the possibility of the chapter doing something similar on city-owned property north of the police department and street department building on North Railroad Avenue. That might be another project they'd want to partner on, Pacey told Diesberg, who said he would help arrange further talks. Now we'll turn page 3 for a story from the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce. Always there to help. honored with annual Chamber of Commerce's award at the banquet, local American Legion Auxiliary, Matt Allen, and Eric Jarks. Gibson City. It takes a village was the message that the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce sent to the community when bestowing awards upon its outstanding citizens at its annual meeting on Thursday, March 13th at the Cruz Center in Gibson City. Chamber President Bill Kirby of Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services presided over the event, which he described as a time to reflect, celebrate, and express our deepest gratitude. The Lifetime Achievement Award, which is awarded annually to community members who have made a positive impact on Gibson City, went not to an individual, but to a group for 2024. The women of American Legion's Lee Lowry Auxiliary Post No. 568. Chamber Trustees Candace Hoffer presented the award to the group of winners, describing how they are seemingly always raising funds, providing food and assistance, and promoting Gibson City to visitors. If there's anything in town, or if there is a call for help, they are always there, Hoffer said. During both of our downtown fires in recent years, they ran out and provided food to all of our firefighters and our workers on scene. During the 4th of July celebrations, they were out until midnight, making sure those who were supported our town were supported. During the flood of August 12, 2021, they made well over 1,000 meals and delivered them to our town. They are also an organization that looks to support the community, Hoffer continued. During Poppy Day, ahead of Memorial Day, they are handing out poppies. At a funeral, if someone passes, they are always recognizing those family members, taking special care for those in the service. They decorate and make sure people feel appreciated. If there is someone sick or a tragedy in our town, they are undoubtedly raising money to help the cause. The Junior Citizen of the Year Award for 2024 was presented by Gibson City Melvin Sibley High School teacher Susan Riley to GCMS High School senior Matthew Allen. "He's the real deal," Riley said. "He's an excellent student, a multi-sport athlete, and mentor to many of our young students. Best of all, he is a servant leader to his teams, his school, and his community. When a school team or club is involved in a service activity, Matt is out front lifting the heaviest boxes. When we need a volunteer for something, Matt's hand is first in the air. He also understands that service involves sacrifice. When asked to give up his study hall, a time when he would otherwise be able to leave school to assist in a math class of struggling freshmen, he shows up." Continued Riley, "When I think of Matt, I'm reminded of a picture taken of the football team helping an elderly man move. Several guys were carrying lamps or small boxes. Then there's Matt, carrying a 50-inch TV up the stairs by himself. He's drenched in sweat, but he still has a smile on his face. He does the dirty work many simply would not, because it needs to be done. His work ethic has been displayed as a summer custodian at the school. He follows each task through to completion, even when it's hot and unmercifully tedious. He's a gentle giant, kind-hearted young man who can tackle an opposing quarterback and also stop to help a student whose broken binder has spread tape papers all over the floor. You shouldn't expect him to say much while he's going about his day, but what he lacks in conversation, he makes up for in heart. He's a humble and genuine human being who makes GCMS a better place." Eric Jarks won the 2024 Award for Citizen of the Year. His award was presented by Kirby, who introduced Jarks as a person who is always helping others. "It's not new anymore because he just continually gives and gives to the community," Kirby said of Jarks. "His love for the community shows. He is always willing to help out." After receiving his award, Jarks addressed the crowd, first thanking the American Legion Auxiliary for the work, then noting that he was honored to be at the event. Although the award was given to honor Jarks' achievements, his acceptance speech focused on his family and others who were making a difference in the community. Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services Chief Executive Rob Schmidt asked me to speak on behalf of the Gibson Area Hospital Foundation, as I serve as the Foundation's chairman, Jarek began. We have an upcoming Glow Bingo event on April 4th, then our annual Nash Bash at the campground south of Gibson City, a golf outing on September 18th, and the fall Glow Bingo. Many of these activities are going to help raise money for a new pharmacy that is going to be built just west of Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services Elite Sport and Fitness Facility out there. It's going to be state-of-the-art. The community and surrounding communities are going to be very appreciative of what Gibson Area Hospital has to offer for them. Jarek then acknowledged the role that family has played in his life. Moving on to this honor of Citizen of the Year, I couldn't do anything without my family, my mom, my dad, my wife, my daughters, Jarek said. I think I have created a clone of Eric Jarek in my daughter Chloe Jarek. If you see me up here, you will probably see her. She is following in my footsteps. She does anything we ask of her for the community, the school. I am very proud to have a daughter like that. Jarek continued, when it comes to the town, you have to be passionate about what you do, he said. I think that's what Gibson City has instilled in the servant leaders and the community, starting right here with Mayor Dan Dickey. He's spent 20 years as our mayor. That's pure passion and is still committed to grow Gibson and continue to make a difference. That's what it's all about. Jarek then mentioned the success of the Gibson City-based Corn Belt Shrine Club, of which he is an active member. We have really grown, Jarek said, of the club, which raises funds for Shriners Hospitals for Children and supports children in the hospital's care. I just wrapped up being a servant on our Board of Governors at our Chicago hospital, which was very honoring. It was an eye-opening experience to see what it takes to run a hospital. Jarek also mentioned his role as chairman of the annual Illinois High School Shrine football game. This year, Matt Allen was selected to participate in that game, Jarek noted. I guarantee when he shows up, he's going to have an eye-opening experience meeting other all-stars. When you are nominated to play in a game like that, you are an all-star in your community. We're going to take a break in that article before we get to the keynote speaker and turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, March 19th. Juan Alcantar, Onarga. Juan Alcantar, 71, of Onarga, died Tuesday, March 11th at his residence. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, March 21st at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga. A funeral service will be at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, March 22nd at the Immaculate Conception Our Lady of Guadalupe Church in Gilman, with Father Santiago Corona officiating. Burial will follow in the Onarga Cemetery in Onarga. Memorials may be given to an organization of the donor's choice. Phyllis A. Anderson, Cisna Park. Phyllis Ann Anderson, 85, of Casa Grande, Arizona, formerly of Cisna Park, died Sunday, March 16th at her daughter's residence in Arizona. Visitation will be from 9 to 10 a.m., Thursday, March 27th, at the Apostolic Christian Church in Cisna Park. A funeral service will follow at 10 a.m. with ministers of the church officiating. Burial will be at the Apostolic Christian Cemetery in Cisna Park. Memorials may be made to the family's wishes. John Arnold, Paxton. Sean Arnold, 49, of Urbana, died at 11 a.m. Monday, March 10th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pells. No services will be held, and burial will be in Mount Hope Cemetery in Sibley. Leslie Burgess, Mattoon. Leslie Leroy Burgess, 69, of Mattoon, formerly of Paxton, died at 4:50 p.m. Tuesday, March 11th, at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. Funeral services were held Saturday, March 15th, at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend Rob Dargan officiating. Memorials may be made to the American Lung Association. Robert W. Clark, Rankin. Robert W. Bob Clark, 81, of rural Rankin, died at 1:31 a.m. Monday, March 10th at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Funeral services were held Friday, March 14th at the Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston, with the Reverend Micah Mobley officiating. Burial followed in the East Lynn Cemetery, East Lynn. Mark V. Goslin, Champaign. Mark V. Goslin, 67, of Champaign, a native of Gibson City, died at 3:33 a.m. Wednesday, March 12th at his home, surrounded by his family. A celebration of life service was held at Saturday, March 15th at the Grace Methodist at Grace Church in Mahomet, preceded by visitation from 9 to 11 a.m. Memorial contributions may be made to Grace Church in Mahomet, St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, or the Wounded Warrior Project. Peter J. Hartford, Gibson City. Peter J. Hartford, 85, of Gibson City, died Wednesday, March 12th at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. A Mass of Christian burial was held Wednesday, March 19th at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Gibson City. Burial followed at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church or the Gibson Area Hospital Foundation. Dolores J. Keitzman, and that is spelled K-I-E-T-Z-M-A-N, Roberts. Dolores Josephine Keitzman, 96, of Roberts, died at noon Wednesday, March 12th at her home. Funeral services were held Saturday, March 15th at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Roberts, with the Reverend Matt Geertes officiating. Burial followed in Lyman Township Cemetery in Roberts. Memorials may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Roberts or the Roberts Gym. Judith A. Liberdia, Paxton. Judith A. Judy Liberdia, 85, of Paxton, died at 2:30 p.m. Friday, March 7th at her home. Graveside services were held Thursday, March 20th in Woodland Cemetery in rural Buckley, with the Reverend John Franklin officiating. Memorials may be made to the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park. Pony Lee McBride, Ludlow. Pony Lee McBride, 73, of Ludlow, died unexpectedly at her home on the afternoon of Saturday, March 8th. Private burial will be at the Ludlow Cemetery at a later date. Unfortunately, we will not be able to return to the article about the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce dinner, because this is all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.